like to welcome you again today to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again here today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be back, Marty. It's been a while, but we hope that this program will really meet the need.
Well, it's been a joy to consider these brothers and sisters who have gone before us. They're really patterns for us as believers today to learn some highlights or some aspects of their both their living and of their work. And last time we began to cover the testimony of Brother Martin Luther, of course, the great reformer, the one who recovered the matter of justification by faith. I think where we left last time, Bill, was that Martin, even though outwardly things were going okay for him through school and he was progressing, he was he was somewhat troubled in his life. He had a lot of turmoils. You know, some things were caused outwardly. He was sometimes in poor health, and he lost a very close friend of his. And he did grow up in some poverty, so he suffered in that way. And then he ended up having a couple bad accidents. One, I think we talked about last time, he wounded himself by his own sword that he was traveling with.
Right.
And then, the last point that I think we fellowshipped when we left last time, he was in a great storm. And time of great thunder and lightning and all, and this was really had a shaking upon him, and he was crying out at the time. Of course, all he knew was to cry out to Saint Anne, and he made a vow, and he said if he made it through that storm, he would become a monk. And he did. He made a very decisive turn through that storm, and he took some steps to carry out his vow and become a monk. So the first thing he did was he called his friends together to have a farewell party.
Right.
And he really had the realization that he was going to leave the world.
Right.
He wanted to leave the sinful world behind him and take a new way and enter into the monastic life. He really had a desire to live a holy life before God. And even though his friends, they got together with him at this farewell party, and they attempted to change his mind, but that was to no avail. And so Martin, at this point, he's entering the Augustinian cloister to leave the world and leave all things behind him so he could be well-pleasing to God. And that's where we kind of begin here today, Bill.
Yeah, right, Marty. That was a major turn when he was almost struck by lightning. He just realized that made a major change in his life, and he determined from that point on to leave the sinful secular world and try to become be as holy as possible. And at that time, the only way he realized was to become a monk. So he took those vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and he entered into that Augustinian cloister, as you said, and began to live an extremely strict life. He was serious. He didn't enter into that cloister to fool around. He was really serious, not so much like a number of the other priests, but he would spend hours upon hours to pray, meditate, fast, go into different self-denial modes and mortify his flesh. Mm-hmm. Of course, he worked on manuscripts, and then he began to realize that when he was in that cloister, that not everyone was as serious about being holy as he was.
Right.
So he began to realize, hey, this is not what I thought, it's not what it's cracked up to be. Some, he realized, were, involved with vices and immorality. And then he said he even made a vow for the salvation of his soul. He wanted to do nothing but serve God and please God for in eternity. Mm-hmm. Of course, his father was really disappointed in him, because his father was hoping that, his son Martin would become a lawyer, an attorney, and do well in the world. But in his old father considered Martin as he was losing his third son, Martin's father. lost two of his sons to the Black Plague, and then he considered losing Martin, considered him dead also, was not even one of his own sons.
Right.
So eventually he was such a strict person, serious person about being a monk. I think everybody there realized that no one could match him in his desire and seriousness to follow God as much as he could. And he just continued watchings and prayers and readings and fastings and laboring, and even almost to the point of physical death.
Right. So it's pretty amazing. He almost like had his own little testimony here. He said, if ever there was a monk that could go to heaven based on the observance of all these vows, it should have been him.
Right.
And he said if he kept going in this way of mortification and all these self-denials and losing time of his sleep and just watching and praying and all these things, he said he would have just marched on right on to death.
Right.
So anyway, this is the environment where he's in this monastery. But one thing is really sovereign, I guess, was when he was at the age of 20, he also had the opportunity in this monastery to browse the books in the library.
Right.
And it's pretty amazing. This was the first time in Martin Luther's life that he came across the Bible. And he was so attracted by that Bible, he even prayed. He said, oh, that God would give me such a book for myself.
Right.
So at that time, of course, they had the Bible was chained to the walls in these monasteries. So the only way that he could read the Bible was to go to the inside the library and find the place on the wall where the Bible was chained to and read it there. And he did that. He would pore over these pages of the Bible. And, of course, at the same time Martin Luther was studying, he began to study Hebrew and Greek, the original languages of the Bible. And, of course, this really equipped him in a very good way that was very, these languages became very useful to him later when he would end up translating the Bible into German. So the Bible, I think we would have to say that's really the source of
right.
all light. God's Word is the source of all light. And that's really what Martin needed. Of course, he needed to have the Bible spoken to him, and he could have the hearing of faith, because even though with all this education and with all the religious upbringing and all this time in the monastery, you have to say that he heard so many things about God, but he did not really have the assurance of his salvation at this point.
His interest in the Bible is really quite something, Marty. I think this is a real, real lesson for all of us, that God would work in his life for him to start reading this book and even learn the languages of the Bible. Of course, Luther spent about, you know, he spent about 3 years in that monastery, but he was not very happy there, you know, for about those 3 years. His conscience was condemning him. He still realized he was a sinner. No doubt he went through a lot of turmoil within, inward turmoil. He would write poems about saying, like, I know that when I try to be upright and just and true to thee, I'm a sinner still. He realized his wretched state. He realized he could not please God, you know, for his sins by his own deeds, right? And he was tortured by God's righteousness, realizing there's no way he could match God's righteousness. He felt surrounded by darkness all around. He talked about every day he went into confession. That didn't help. And then he realized, you know, he's still envious, impatient, you know, a wretched man. But even though he was like descending lower and lower into himself, right, God was still working, Marty.
Right.
Just like if you, you know, like in the book of Romans, it talks about, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. He, at this point, he heard a lot of things about God, but he needed someone to announce to him the definite way of salvation, is not just a general way.
Right.
And he found this man there in the Augustinian cloister named John Staupitz. He was an administrator there, and he realized why is the guy so downcast and upset and sad and mournful? And he got Luther to open up.
Right.
Staupitz really talked to him, like, Luther, Martin, why are you tormenting yourself with all these speculations? Just have faith in Christ. He shed his blood.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw yourself on the Lord and trust in him, and he'll give you divine favor. And those words really penetrated Luther. He later even testified that if this Dr. John Staupitz had not helped him in that point, He would have probably just drowned himself in sorrow.
Eventually, I think it was through this man, Staupitz, that he recognized that Luther really had some abilities and maybe should go on and even use his education and even begin to teach. So in 1508, Luther was given a temporary assignment as a professor at the University of Wittenberg. And this was a small village in Germany there with less than 3,000 people. And Luther was appointed to lecture on philosophy. Of course, at this time, Luther had already been ordained as a priest, even though he was only age 25. And Luther, he got the help, I think it was from the Staupitz, to direct him more into the study of the Bible. So Luther started to study in that way, and eventually he did obtain a degree, a bachelor's degree on the Bible. So some began to say, Luther, one day he's going to confound even the professors or the doctors,
because
he's learning to stand on the writings of the prophets and the apostles and learning to rely upon the words of Christ. So this was a very good testimony. Well, at the same time, this religious environment didn't go away, and maybe you could say it was intensified. Luther was traveling back and forth to a couple of these different universities. He went on and was transferred to the University of Erfurt for a few years.
Right.
And while he was there, he was commissioned to make a trip to Rome to represent the Augustinian order. They had to find some solution to problems that were going on within the monasteries and the strife, I guess, between the monks. And so Luther was sent to Rome to go and help resolve this problem, or to present the problem to the Pope. And of course, Luther, he was really looking forward to this, and he had the highest esteem for what he called the holy city of Rome. He just couldn't wait to get there. And also, he felt it was quite an honor to be able to represent these matters before the Pope. So when he got there, he saw the city, and he proclaimed, "Hail, thou holy Rome, hail." He was so excited. But actually, when he entered in, he began to see some of the sights in Rome and find out what was really happening there. He became very disillusioned that Rome really was not the great city of holiness that he had imagined. In fact, it was quite the opposite. It was a place of worldliness, sin, and vice. And so this really troubled Luther, and he was troubled by the other priests and making mockery of what he considered the sacred things.
Right.
And of course, at the same time, Luther started hearing all these stories about some of the former popes, and he changed his tune quite a bit from thinking that Rome was such a holy city. Eventually, toward the end, he agreed with others, saying, if there is a hell, Rome is built over it. That it was such a place of corruption. So you can see the all these kind of things, the exposing of what was happening in the monasteries and the exposing of what was really the condition in Rome. These began to really work on Martin Luther. At the same time, he's beginning to understand and learn the Bible to a certain extent. So the Lord is really operating in Martin Luther.
In June of last year, Marty, some of us were there in Rome visiting for a few days, and we wanted to go see this chapel called Sanctus Sanctorum. And this was a very famous chapel with a famous set of stairs, 28 steps on this stairway. And of course, through the Roman Catholic tradition said that somehow, miraculously, those stairs were the actual stairs that the Lord Jesus ascended when he was judged by Pontius Pilate back at the time of Christ, and that somehow 3 or 4 centuries after that, those stairs were somehow moved intact to Rome. Of course, we know that's just the nonsense of tradition. But at that time, all the millions of people believed that those are the actual stairs that the Lord ascended to be judged by Pontius Pilate. So one of the popes, he made this declaration that every step that you go up on your knees to reach the top, 9 years of purgatory is withdrawn, that you don't have to pay. So this kind of these traditions and things really bothered Martin Luther. So when Luther went up there, you know, as he began to climb these stairs, he said in his heart, he said, what if this is not true? And I'm still yet in my sins. Who knows that I'm walking up on these 28 stairs, steps on my knees, trying to get, you know, forgiveness, 9 years forgiveness for every step I take. So this also really plagued him, really bothered him.
Right.
Eventually, Luther, after Rome, he was transferred back to Wittenberg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. He was in, you know, there for a while, and he's transferred back to Wittenberg right around 1512. And this time he's teaching theology and not philosophy. And he received his degree of the Doctor of Divinity around 1512, but he still was not regenerated, still not born again yet. But there at Wittenberg, gradually the light began to dawn, and he remembered what Staupitz had said to him years before. Then he began to realize God's mercy through the scriptures to find the way of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So especially Martin really spent a lot of time in the book of Romans. He really treasured the book of Romans. Especially, he was focusing on chapter 1, verse 17, which says that the righteous shall have life and live by faith, not by works, but by faith.
Mm-hmm.
So before, this word righteousness really plagued him, really bothered him. He was condemned by this. In a sense, he hated this thing of God's righteousness.
Right.
Anyone match God's righteousness? This mad God who punishes unrighteous sinners. So this, he could not endure the words, the righteousness of God. He did, eventually, he said he had no love for that holy and just God who only did what he does is punish sinners.
Mm-hmm.
So he was filled even with secret anger against God.
Wow. This is quite a testimony. Just reading through his biography, this is really the focal point when Martin Luther really gets enlightened by the Lord through the Word.
Yeah.
And prior to that time, you could say, Bill, he was really under the law.
Right.
And he was really even, he said, you know, he was filled with a secret anger against God. He hated that.
Yeah.
He hated that phrase, righteousness of God. But through this time, through this opening of that word in Romans 1:17, the Lord's mercy really came to him. And he said he, by the Spirit, began to understand these words. And he began to learn how the justification of the sinner proceeds from the free mercy of God through faith.
Right.
So Martin said, I felt like I was born again. I felt like a new man. And that he actually said, I felt like I entered through the doors into the very paradise of God. So he really had the experience of coming to the Lord and being justified by faith and being born again. So the words, the righteousness of God, which he had previously detested, now, he said, became so valuable to him. And he began to love these words, and they became so sweet and consoling to him. And later on, you know, we know that he really was getting clear concerning this, because you read some of his letters to others, even a friend of his, he wrote to a couple years later in 1516. He asked him, he said, have you learned to despise your own righteousness and to put your trust in the righteousness of Christ? And he said he used to, and he said he knew his friend was endeavoring always to do good works and depend on their own merits, and that this was a great error. But now he's learning To come to the Lord. And he encouraged his friend. I like this prayer, Bill. He said, "Thou, Lord Jesus, art my righteousness, but I am thy sin. Thou hast assumed what was mine and given me what was thine." So the Lord took our sin upon him, and the Lord became our righteousness. This was Martin Luther's realization. So anyway, maybe we could stop here for today, Bill. I think we touched the real focus of Martin's testimony. He was enlightened by the word of God as to the way of salvation. He began to turn from the way of works to the way of salvation by grace through faith in Christ. So it's a glorious testimony, and we're so thankful for our brother Martin Luther, who has gone before us.
That's right. Very good, Marty.
All right, Bill, we'll tune in again next time, and we just like to encourage our listeners, actually, if you have any comments or questions concerning these podcasts on the Great Resolutions, we encourage you to send an email to ageturners.com, and we'll try and reply. All right, we'll sign out here for today. Thank you.